Jamie Sumire Constantino lives in Seattle, but she grew up in New Jersey. She had plenty of friends there in her little town, especially this one girl.
She was one of my closest friends and one of my oldest friends, and she was rather popular. She was somebody that everyone flocked to. She was somebody who often had the gatherings at her home.
Those gatherings for meals and pool parties were a big part of Jamie's childhood. But much later, she'd learn things about that home that would shake her life and sense of self to their foundations. A warning, this story contains some difficult material about the exploitation of children. There's nothing explicit, but it may not be appropriate for some listeners. It's about 8 minutes long. Jamie sat down to tell us about the story, starting with her friend's dad.
My impressions of her dad was that he was a very good father when I was really young, and he was very family-oriented, and I saw this mother, father, brother, dogs, nice home, happy daughter who had lots of friends, and so I saw her dad as somebody very dependable, very reliable, and I think a lot of us, meaning a lot of the kids that would come over to the house, would feel that somebody that we can trust. So when I was 17 years old, I got a call on my little red flip phone from somebody claiming that they were with the FBI. They asked if I knew the White family, not the real family name. And I responded yes, and with worry immediately, is everything okay? Is everyone okay? And the agent said that they couldn't tell me what was going on, but they also even noted that I probably knew why they were calling me. And honestly, I had no clue. I had absolutely no idea. At this point, I was living about 40 minutes away from everybody else involved in the situation, and I hadn't heard any news on it. I hadn't seen any news on it. But this agent pretty much told me that my mother needed to take me to a certain address at a certain time on a certain date. I hung up the phone and took out my computer and looked up the family name. I saw a ton of articles, just like an overwhelming amount of information on the White family's father being a child predator and someone who recorded, edited, and distributed child pornography. And my heart sank. I just remember the adrenaline rush still very clearly and going out to the kitchen and telling my mom, yeah, that was real. And I just have to show you this article. And very, 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 very likely when we go to that address, they're going to tell me that I am one of the people that he took images of and sent to a lot of people. And having to tell my mom that, I think, was one of the most difficult parts of the whole thing. I just remember feeling so sorry and so guilty when I told my mom. I was feeling oddly guilty about taking a shower, or using a restroom, or changing my clothes, or brushing my teeth. So I just remember being afraid to break both of our hearts and both of our realities and having to deliver that news. So my mom takes me to this address at the time, at the date. It just looked like a regular old house, not an office. But we were greeted by a couple agents. And I think that was when one of the most devastating parts of the whole situation landed for me and for my mom. We saw like the cute little carpet with the train tracks. You know what I'm talking about? And we saw my favorite little toy when I was going to the doctor as a little kid, where it's all of the wires and they're the little wooden shapes and you kind of make it like their own little roller coaster ride. And I think that's when it landed for us that the people that are doing the work in this building are also needing to talk and work with incredibly young individuals. I remember it also being a sunny day. So the sun is going through this window at this perfectly normal looking house with these perfectly normal looking toys for small children. And you knew it was not a normal situation. They let us down into kind of a basement area to just a table and a bunch of papers. And there were images that were censored and blurred out of people that I knew in rooms that I remembered very clearly. I was the last, I guess, to know because they were having a difficult time finding me. So what I had to do with these images was turn them over and write the name of the person that I could identify on the back, as well as sign it myself. And I just remember looking at every photo, being able to identify a person, turning it over, going through the heartbreaking part of writing their name down, and also seeing so many other signatures attached. And especially when I got to images of myself, I would just go, oh, that's me, at least my hair looked good that day. And I would turn it over and there would be these signatures of all of these people that I grew up with, all of these kids that I knew that identified me, my face, my body, and knew that I was part of this too with them. It was that odd comfort of not being alone, but also the terror of not being alone. I remember when I was in the office still, this crazy amount of anger that what had happened to me had happened to somebody else before, and I had no clue. That drove me crazier than anything. Wanting to make it better and wanting to take ownership of something, not having, feeling like you have ownership of your own body, of your own childhood, of your own history, of your relationships with people, and that you will never really have that full ownership because your body is floating around being enjoyed by goodness knows who forever. Even after I die, that's still gonna be there. That's a crazy concept. Initially, it was difficult to feel that anything or anyone was trustworthy. It just felt like reality had shifted, that I felt so dumb that there was something that was happening to me, and I had no idea. I just felt irresponsible. In a way, I felt like I couldn't be trusted, and that was scary. But at the same time, I think what I learned through the FBI calling me on a flip phone 7 years ago, I feel like there's this comfort that I was able to learn what happened to me, that there were people that cared and people that found this predator, that contacted me and my family, that let me know this happened and really made me feel like they had my back. That also definitely gave me grace and clarity. Being able to do this gives me more grace and clarity than anything I could have ever dreamed of. And to have this be a reality, like almost exactly 7 years from when I first learned about all of this, means the world to me.
Jamie Sumare Costantino teaches in West Seattle. At our website, knkxsoundeffect.org, you can find resources for people who have been victimized by child pornography.